Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2472, with the release date of Friday, March 14th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The official U.S. climate agency faces an uncertain future. Ham radio becomes a tool to handle rampaging wildlife and a triumph for navigation systems on the moon. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2472 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin with a developing story here in the U.S. With the Atlantic hurricane season on the horizon, ongoing job cuts at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, are throwing the agency's future into question among forecasters, scientists, skywarn spotters, and other hams responding to weather disasters around the nation. Randy Sly, W4XJ, brings us up to date.
Published reports about the downsizing of a number of U.S. federal agencies indicate that NOAA, the government's climate and weather agency, is bracing for another 1,000 job cuts on top of its recent loss of an estimated 1,300 staffers. The National Weather Service, which is a part of NOAA, announced earlier this month that it was temporarily halting launches of some of its weather balloons because of staffing shortages. Data gathered by the weather balloons has been, among other things, an important source of data used by hams and others who regularly track the solar cycle. Sources told the Washington Post that the government may not renew the leases for NOAA's Weather and Climate Center in Maryland and for its Radar Operations Center in Oklahoma. According to a report in the New York Times, additional cuts will mean a reduction in NOAA's staffing by 20%. The Washington Post said that the National Weather Service now has fewer than 4,000 on staff, the smallest roster in recent history. A number of amateur radio nets, including the Hurricane Watch Net and the Maritime Mobile Service Net, interact with the National Weather Service during storms and other emergencies, passing traffic and transmitting critical bulletins. It was unclear what impact these staffing cuts will ultimately have on amateur radio's role in safety communications during times of crisis. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Amateur radio emergency response varies from location to location, but the need for effective communication remains the same everywhere, whether a region is dealing with a wildfire, a cyclone, or something else. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us about a response team in India that recently started up to deal with rampaging wildlife.
A handful of villagers on the edge of the Buxar Tiger Reserve now have additional assurance that they will be better informed about dangers posed by wildlife on the move. The North Bengal Amateur Radio Society has assisted a group of youths from five villages near the Tiger Reserve so as licensed hams, they can watch out for potential deadly encounters between humans and animals. The young amateurs began this effort after the last monsoon in which two young villagers were attacked and killed by elephants in a remote village of Chipani, according to a report on the website of the Indian publication The Telegram. The young team received guidance from Swarup Sahar, VU3KOX, secretary of the North Bengal Ham Society. Mobile connectivity is unreliable in remote areas of the region, and villagers were often unable to warn one another about dangers to their homes, their crops, and their lives. 3 months after the small team of hams was formed, radios have been set up in each small village near the Tiger Reserve. Villagers told the Telegram they were much more confident now that they will be better able to protect themselves and their homes. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Farmers and fishermen in India are also learning how ham radio can assist them, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In West Bengal, India, hams responding to natural disasters in the coastal region of that state have long witnessed the struggle of farmers and fishermen in the aftermath of each of these cyclones and other disturbances. While the radio operator's response has traditionally been to initially step in and assist with emergency communications, the West Bengal Radio Club knew its members had to do something more and could. At a one-day seminar this month at Neota University, in cooperation with Agriculture and Communication Department officials, three speakers from the club gave insights and instruction to those who work the land and the sea. They learned how they might use radio to better prepare in protecting their livelihoods in this difficult climate. Club Secretary Ambarish Nagbiswas, VU2JFA, told Newsline that after conducting the awareness program and instruction, the hams will assist with the installation of community radios with the support of government officials. More than 350 students from 8 states and 17 districts attended the one-day seminar and workshop. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In bringing you this next story, Newsline indulges in a bit of personal pride. The Hamvention Awards Committee has chosen our own Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, as Amateur of the Year. You may know him as a Newsline anchor and correspondent, and as creator and host of the former Ham Talk Live webcast. But the ham world first heard from Neil at the age of 5 when he became one of the youngest licensed hams ever in 1976. A visiting professor of chemistry at Xavier University and a former high school chemistry teacher, Neil has a long commitment to bringing ham radio to kids. First as a school ham club sponsor and as co-founder and camp director of Youth on the Air Americas. Neil is a contributing editor at the National Contest Journal and a member of the ARIS USA Education Committee. We are so proud of you, Neil. Neil will share the stage in May during the Hamvention Awards in Xenia, Ohio, with three other recipients. One of them, Dr. Christina Collins, KD8OXT, is Chief Operations Scientist for the HamSci Personal Space Weather Station Network. She is being given the Technical Achievement Award. Julio Ripall, WD4R, is being given the Special Achievement Award. Julio is co-founder of amateur radio operations at the National Hurricane Center and is assistant coordinator. He has managed emergency communications during Caribbean hurricanes and the Haiti earthquake of 2010. The Club of the Year Award recipient is the RV Radio Network, which has more than 450 members who combine amateur radio with the joy of travel in recreational vehicles, hosting educational forums, rallies, and seminars along their journeys. A station in Austria has been the latest shortwave broadcaster to air a program by Germany's National Amateur Radio Society, as we learn from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
If you've been listening to Radio DARC's shortwave programmes broadcast on the 31-metre band from Wuferton in England or from Ingolstadt in Germany on Radio Channel 292, a ham-owned AM broadcast station, you now have another option. The programme produced by Germany's National Amateur Radio Society is now being carried on a test basis by the Museum's Radio Plattenkist transmitter in Bad Ischl, Austria, run by OE5TPM. During the month of March, you can listen from 1900 to 2000 CET on Saturdays on 1476 kHz. The DARC welcomes reception reports for the 1 kilowatt station, and these should be emailed directly to radio@darc.de. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
In the U.S., the entire 6 gigahertz band will be opened up to a greater operation of unlicensed VLP, very low power, devices under an FCC final rule that takes effect May 5th. The band, which comprises frequencies between 5.925.7 and 7.125 gigahertz, is used by mobile service, fixed satellite service across 4 subbands. VLPs, which include wearable devices, augmented reality devices, and healthcare monitors, typically have an integrated antenna and cover short distances. This latest action by the Commission, published in the Federal Register March 6th, provides greater spectrum for various portable devices operating with the same power levels and operational requirements of other VLP devices. Time for you to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio News Line, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KD2SL repeater, Syracuse, New York, Mondays 8 p.m. after the Fireside Chatnet. Navigation systems based on Earth have achieved something that has scientists literally over the moon with pride, as we hear from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
When an Earth-based navigation system successfully tracked a lander on the surface of the moon on March 3rd, the interaction was hailed as a triumph. It was a first for lunar GNSS receiver experiment, known as LUGRE, a joint project of NASA and the Italian Space Agency. This unprecedented ability to have Earth-based navigation track movements on the moon bodes well for high-altitude explorations such as NASA's planned Artemis missions. Observers view it as a gateway to even more advanced navigation systems, which would be applicable to missions headed for Mars. The contacts between LUGRE and the two navigation systems, GPS and Galileo, achieved success some 225,000 miles from Earth, determining position, velocity, and time autonomously. This is a first for the Italian Space Agency and a nod to the work of Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, who was a consultant for the LUGRE Moonlander package. Frank, the executive director of ARIS, had experimented more than 20 years ago using the satellite AO40 to measure the signal strength of the GPS satellite constellation at high altitudes. That experiment was credited with helping improve GPS and its applications, and experts note that it ultimately led to the ability for such navigation at even higher Earth orbits. This is Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We remind listeners that young hams who live in the continental United States have an opportunity to make news, if they aren't already doing so, by being a recipient of this year's Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger, someone who has talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. Newsline was proud last year to honor Grace Pape, K8L6 of Holland, Michigan, with this special award. Do you know someone who might qualify to receive this year's honor? Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. Nominations are now open. We are accepting nominations through May 31st. New York State's Erie Canal was completed 200 years ago, providing a waterway connection between the East Coast and the Midwest by linking New York's Hudson River with Lake Erie. Now the Erie Canal is getting ready to be a source of connection for amateur radio operators, who will be on the air in September at various points, including the 524 miles known as the Erie Canal Way National Heritage Corridor. If you'd like to be one of them, this report from Andy Morrison, K9AWM, should be helpful.
September can't come soon enough for the Warren County Radio Club, W2WCR, whose members are planning a club picnic and POTA activation to mark the bicentennial of the Erie Canal. The club's president, Bernie, N1NDN, told Matt, K2EAG, and Mike, N2MAK, that the POTA event the two have organized from the 16th through the 25th of September provides a perfect opportunity for everyone to try operating a portable station while celebrating the historic canal. While most of the portable stations are likely to be at various points along the route known as the Erie Canal Way National Heritage Corridor, not all activations are likely to be on dry land. Matt said that the Radio Association of Western New York, W2PE, hopes to operate aboard the museum ship USS Little Rock, CLG-4, in Buffalo, while at the opposite end of the canal in Albany, hams are hoping to activate another museum ship, the USS Slater, WW2DEM. Matt and Mike are looking for as many individual hams and clubs as possible to sign up. Meanwhile, there's plenty of room along the corridor, which has the POTA designation of US 6532. The radio event is timed to coincide with the World Canal Conference that kicks off on the 21st of September in Buffalo. If you would like to help honor the canal's history, contact Matt at the email address in the text version of this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org, or look for him on the Facebook page of Upstate New York Parks on the Air. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
In the world of DX, Pierre, VE3KTB, is using the call sign VY0ERC from the Eureka Amateur Radio Club station on Ellesmere Island, IOTA number NA008 until the 2nd of April. He's operating CWSSB and FT8 on various bands. For QSL details, cqrz.com. The DARC's special event call sign, DA25WARD, is active until the 27th of April in recognition of World Amateur Radio Day. Hams around the world celebrate April 18, 1925, the day of the founding of the International Amateur Radio Union. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Members of the EIDX group are using the call sign 6Y7EI from Jamaica, IOTA number NA097, through to the 24th of March. Listen for them on 160 through 6 meters, where they will be operating using all modes. QSL via M0OXO. Adrian, HJ4ADR, is operating holiday style from the 20th through to the 26th of March using the call sign HJ4ADR/0. He's operating from Providencia Island, IOTA number NA049, using low power. He'll be on 40 and 10 meters using SSB and FT8. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Finally, if you've ever waited for a phone call that just never came, you might appreciate our final story this week, especially if your caller happened to be on the moon. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, explains.
That much-awaited wireless call from the moon to the Earth will just have to be put on hold for now. Nokia's 4G LTE network was expected to be put through its paces from the south pole of the lunar surface following the March 6th landing of the Athena lander, built by the private Houston, Texas-based company Intuitive Machines. Athena arrived with Nokia's Network in a Box, or NIB, on board. Like its predecessor lander, also built by Intuitive Machines, the lander tipped over upon arrival and, with its solar panels blocked from receiving the necessary recharge from the sun, the mission was quickly declared over. Undaunted, Nokia pointed out that the company did successfully deliver the moon's first cellular network and powered it up for 25 minutes to transmit data and receive commands from the Earth. Hopes were high, though, that there would be more to report. After all, this mission was supposed to help facilitate communications in 2027, aboard Artemis 3. That mission is to be NASA's first human spaceflight to the moon since 1972, and astronauts are expected to be wearing spacesuits that have integrated 4G LTE capabilities courtesy of Nokia and Axiom Space. Of course, that's still 2 years away, so until then, hold all calls, please. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
You don't need to be a literary giant of the amateur radio world to send your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge. You just need to be inspired. Set your ham radio poetry down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, five in the third. Submit your work on our website, arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to ABC, Amateur News Daily, Ambarish Nag Bishwash, VU2JFA, David Behar, K7DB, the DARC, Federal Register, Hackaday, Matt Brown, K2EAG, Michael Calter, W8CI, New York Times, NASA.gov, QRZ.com, Radio World, Shortwave Radio.de, The Telegram, Washington Post, Wired.com, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, visit our website, arnewsline.org, and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners, if you like our newscast, leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.